Hi there, this is Lori Etchews of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. So today's audio is a business and marketing audio, number 15, I believe, all about getting more doctor referrals. So I searched the web and some of my audio sources and marketing materials in my office to compile this information for you. And it's based on human medical doctors and physios or other practitioners trying to get referrals from medical doctors, but all of the same principles apply. And of course, there's nothing on there for, you know, vet specific, but it really shouldn't matter. It is all in the same context. So away we go. Firstly, we all have to recognize that it is important to note that physicians take a lot of marketing. So this is what I came across, is that, that you're going to have to spend time and be very consistent and really do a lot of marketing. And really, there's no reason to believe that vets would be any different in trying to get referrals from veterinarians for your rehab business as well. So let's just go to what is it that doctors want. So one is to be able to refer a patient for a treatment that will work. So they want to know that what they are sending, that they send a patient and that what they're going to send for is going to work. They often want diagnosis and treatment of musculoskeletal problems. And did you know that about in human medicine, about 30% of the cases that a medical doctor would see are musculoskeletal? And there is really very little that a doctor can do for an MSK problem, you know, other than drugs and surgery. But for the most part, those are not appropriate or a last resort. And I would say that vet medicine is pretty much the same. So diagnosis and treatment of musculoskeletal issues. They want for you to be someone they know. So it's going to be much easier. They're going to have a much more of a comfort level referring if they know you. Okay. They want that their patients will be seen soon, so they don't want their patient to have to wait, and they will want a report back fast. So if we take that into consideration, what should be your plan? So I've come up with 10 guiding principles to getting more doctor referrals. So I'm going to start with one and two. Firstly, if your practice is currently in existence, so this could be even if you were a medical practice, a veterinary practice that's adding rehab, or if you already have a rehab practice, so this is where you're going to start. So firstly, you want to prioritize your referral base. So maybe go back through and see who your top referring clinics or top referring doctors are, and kind of look and prioritize your referral base A, B, C, and D. So A are your loyalists. They love you. They refer you cases. You really don't have to do a whole lot to gain their business because they just send them when it's appropriate and all is good. You've got B. You've got the practices or the practitioners that are good if encouraged. So they already like and trust you. You just need to kind of give them a nudge. Okay. Then you've got C. Those are the practices or the clinicians that are inconsistent. They don't really understand your full capabilities. And then D are the folks that refer only periodically. And so they may refer periodically, but there's not many of them, and it could be due to location. Maybe you're far away. It could be due to obligation. Perhaps they like you, but there's a practitioner in their practice that they're supposed to refer to, or due to their specialty or your specialty that it's just maybe not the right fit. So basically, you're going to give D and C referrers a lower priority in, you know, what you're going to do, how often you're going to communicate, and the, let's just be honest, the money you're going to spend on them. And then you'll want to focus more of your priorities on the A's and the B's. So make your list. And then number two is you're going to send them some information. So the usual stuff that you would think about, your brochure, your cards, referral pads, pen, whatever stuff you might have. You also want to identify or highlight your USP, which stands for unique selling proposition. Okay? And so if you haven't thought about this, you really need to think about what is your USP. And this is why they should refer to you. And maybe that's a unique product or service. So maybe it's unique to the kind of cases you treat. Maybe it's unique to the machines or something you have or your skill set. Okay, maybe it's based on convenience. So maybe it's a one-stop shop. You do this, 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 and that. Maybe it's you're open 7 days a week, or maybe it's right in your neighborhood. So it could be a convenience factor. Maybe it is exclusivity, where you are the only one that is doing or providing XYZ, or the only place that, you know, has something or offers something, or where a certain person practices, whatever. And another one would be trust. So, for example, been in business for however many years, or physio to XYZ team. So if there's something like that, so you need to think about what is your USP when you are going to solicit a referral. And then you want to also send some additional educational information. And this could be to try and make you stand out, really. So it could be a short little book or a booklet, perhaps on a certain condition or technique or something like that. Maybe a handout on treatment of a certain condition that they can look at for themselves and learn from, and or maybe it's something that they could copy and hand out for their patients. Maybe it's a video that you want to use that shows something useful. Maybe it's your newsletter. So basically, you've got a couple different things there. So you've got your standard package of stuff. Okay, you want to make sure that either in your standard package of stuff that you highlight your unique selling proposition, or you have something else that highlights it, okay, and some sort of educational info. Okay, then now we're on number three, so you're carrying on, but if you are just starting out, this is where you start, okay? So you want to find out more about them. And you can do this with perhaps a phone call or setting up a meeting, okay? And you want to ask them about their practice and about them and figure out what conditions they commonly see, or he or she commonly sees, and talk about common conditions. So things where, you know, you both treat such and such and your experiences in that. And then you want to essentially learn, you know, so for example, what can I do to make your life easier? So perhaps it's, you know, is there something I could do that could help your practice? Are there certain caseloads you would like to have some place for them to go? Is it, you know what, it would really be helpful if you could, you know, give me a handout that addressed something or other, okay? You can ask them, how can we improve our relationship with you? So maybe there's something that they are wanting, again, from you. And even just say, thank you, doctor so-and-so, for referring so-and-so last week. Okay? So essentially, you are reaching out to them to know how or if you can serve them better. Alrighty. Now, number four, you got to figure out how to keep your A clinics and doctors happy and informed. So you want to thank them. Thank them for their referrals. So your thank yous should be genuine, unique, and or interesting. So a handwritten note or a phone call or even just a phone message, because that could be simple too, is just, you know what, I'd love to, can I leave a voicemail for Dr. So-and-so? And then really that could just be, you know, I want to thank you so much for sending us, you know, Muffy Jones, and, you know, if I've sent you, I've faxed back my findings, and please feel free to call if you've got any questions about this case or any others. It would be lovely if you could, if you're sending a thank you, that it's personalized or maybe a meaningful gift, right? But bear in mind that it should not look like you're trying to buy a referral, right? But maybe just some sort of a gift that acknowledges that you are appreciative and know something about them personally. So whether it's maybe, you know, maybe they've just had a baby or their wife has just had a baby and you can send them some team baby socks. So Calgary Flames baby socks, for example. I don't know. Totally making this up. But, you know, if they liked hockey. So something then that you could do a thank you, you know, that is meaningful or personal. And then the third thing to talk about is something that would be interesting. So we do this at my clinic, is we send lumpy mail. So as a thank you, with the handwritten thank you note, then the referring veterinarians each month would get something interesting. Something that is maybe a conversation piece or a fun little toy or a seasonal item. Just little trinkets at the dollar store. Halloween's a great time because you can get some Halloween candy. Try and get some that's flat though because it mails better. Something that's just interesting. So that essentially when they get the mail, it's lumpy, it's interesting, they open it, and it's often a conversation piece that people talk about. I know I've had vets say to me, it's like, oh, I love getting your guys' to see what your mail, your thank you notes, to see what kind of crazy stuff you're going to put in your envelope this time. So think about that as a thank you. Number five, be sure to include their staff. So woo their staff, especially in your A and B clinics. So this could be food or flowers or gifts during the holidays, you know, or just dropping off, you know, as you're going by, and maybe you're hand delivering a thank you note to somebody. Maybe, you know, also include a box of chocolates for the front desk staff or a you know, bouquet of flowers or something, just something different and interesting. And it really doesn't even have to be something you spend money on. Maybe you grow sweet peas in your garden, and that would be a lovely thing to bring in. Okay, because we have to recognize that staff can have a good deal of influence on who gets referred to, who gets referred and to where they get referred, right? So, and especially, I mean, if you're a technician listening to this, you know this. You know, you get to spend some little extra time talking to the clients, and, you know, you do have that ability. Let's say your veterinarian says, oh, well, you know, some physiotherapy would be good. Some physio for your dog would be good. You know, and the clients might ask, oh, you know, as I don't really know what places exist, you know, the staff, the technician, the front desk staff, these people have a lot of influence, so don't forget about them. Okay, six, test drive principle. So do they or their staff, any member of staff, have a dog of their own that you could offer to see at, you know, quote-unquote, a professionally discounted rate, let's say. So maybe offered a 50% or something like that for some member of their staff. Or perhaps to try a product or service that you offer. So maybe your underwater treadmill or a massage therapy session or a shockwave treatment or a laser or something then that you offer that's unique or different, just to try and get them in. It's so that they get to experience what it is you're about, right? So that they have an idea and an understanding that if and when they refer a client, they kind of know the process, what's going to go on, you know, what it's like in the your setup. So think about that, okay? And this, as well as, you know, the items items 4 and 5. Yeah. Also, you know, develops a little bit of that law of reciprocity, which basically means you give something and they want to do something for you in return. Okay? And it's also a nice way to start a relationship so that, you know, you've got that ability to chat with them for, you know, 10, 15, 30 minutes that they might be in there. Okay, 7, be what they want. So if they figure out what it is they want, and or they likely want a lot of these things, so they want you to be high quality. They want you to be timely with your appointments. Prompt reports that are also understandable. So think about that if you're sending something off with a lot of acronyms. Spell things out. Write things out. Okay? They want hassle-free interactions. They want you to be willing to take their tough cases. And, you know, maybe it's acceptance of insurance or various different things like that that could make you easy to do business with for their clients. Okay? And also assurance that you'll send their patients back when it's appropriate. So it might just even be letting them know about these policies. Okay? 8. Food. Everyone's got to eat, and lots of folks like to eat. So maybe you would do something like taking them out for lunch or even dinner, if that's of interest to them or you. I can tell you, people call me up, "Oh, Lori, I'd love to take you to lunch one day." Oh, that is the last thing I want to do. Or to go out for dinner afterwards. But, you know what, if you were to come in and say, "Oh, I could do an in-service," well, maybe that'd be more interesting to me. Because I don't have time to go out and rush and come back in. I got a lot of crap to do. So anyways, maybe an in-service is good. And if you're going to an in-service, doing an in-service, bring food. Okay, maybe it's just drop off. Maybe you're just going to drop off food sometime with some of your information or a report or something like that. Okay, 9, be regular and consistent with your communication. So let them know what's going on and all the things that they want to know. Send them useful information and promotions consistently. Okay. One of the sources I read said you need to communicate with them by direct mail twice a month and, get this, 2 to 3 times in person. So that's a lot. But you know what? It can be doable. And if you look at this as in bite-sized chunks, pick a couple things that you're going to do. And maybe if you just sort of think about, well, you know what, I'm going to send them information at least once a month, maybe twice a month. And maybe one of those times I'm going to try and drop it off in person. And that might not be that you get to actually chat with Dr. So-and-so. That could be just as much meeting and greeting the front end staff and whoever is out at the desk at that point in time. Okay, you can be looking at sending newsletters or professional alerts or professional notes, case studies and testimonials. Testimonials helps with the trust factor because they've got these, they can see other people have been happy with your service. Okay, a call to action. So maybe you pose a question that you ask for feedback or something that is an act now so that, you know, perhaps just this month we're having a special or a limited time offer, you know, things that is an act now thing. And take time to teach. So whether that is the in-service component, whether that is the newsletters and the things, so make that time so you are taking the time to teach them. Okay. And lastly, 10, don't give up. So realizing that marketing to doctors is just one source of getting referrals. Okay. So do some of these things, try some of these things, keep at it, and then create some systems that will help to streamline your process. And then you can kind of move on to different tactics and build on it, but do something and try and get into some sort of a regular habit of doing something that is targeted towards your referring veterinarians, okay? And then you can look at other avenues for building a referral network, but that's a topic for another day. So I hope this helps. I hope this inspires you a little bit. And until next time, cheers.